This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward and you're tuned into the pre-match show, Crew at Home Edition, in partnership with our friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. We are available every week on podcast audio and video. And joining me as always for some irreverent but hopefully informative ICFC chat is Seb Brown. Seb, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. Another amazing week in the life of being an Ipswich Town fan, eh? From the highs, as I went to Sunderland and I was so sure that we were going to do something. And then, you know, as normal, we don't. And I thought Rotherham's a tough game and, you know, we might sneak a point. And of course we didn't. So, yeah, good times, isn't it?
Back to normal, isn't it? It's almost like it's this time last season all over again, isn't it? Kind of, yeah. We'll try and find positives because this weekend's fixture is hashtag winnable.
Oh, God, this is a gimme, yeah.
Shudder.
If we don't win this, things, but, give yeah. up. Just, yeah, let it go.
We'll pack up. We'll end 1878 until 2021. If we can't get it right on Sunday, then, God, heaven forbid, the flagship's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Can you imagine if at 5:30 or 5 o'clock or whatever, we've lost a crew? I think we'll just have to delete social media and, yeah, close down everything and just hibernate for the winter.
God. Yeah, well, we'll talk about crew and make our predictions and why we've got stats to back up what we've been talking about. So this is not as if we're kind of, you know, plucking things from thin air. We've done our research, Seb, and there's reason to be confident. So we'll give you all the insights into crew shortly. But for now, let's do a few bits of news. And crew marks this year's weekend for Stonewall's Rainbow Laces campaign. And the club have already mentioned on the website what they're doing to mark that. I have spoken to Francine from Rainbow Tractors and the LGBTQ plus group. And let's go and listen to what she has to say right now. Hi, I'm joined by Francine from Rainbow Tractors. Francine, how are you? I like the kind of blue glow that you've got basking as well. Very on brand. Firstly, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Yeah, how are you feeling? You? We're kind of in between Rotherham on Tuesday, which is not fun, and a fixture on Sunday, which is hashtag winnable. How are you feeling about life and football and Ipswich Town in general at the moment?
I knew we were going to lose on Tuesday. We can't beat Rotherham in League One. They know what to do.
And we can't beat Sunderland away either. These things are...
No.
Yes, these are things that we know, are truths that we know.
The beginning of the month, I thought Crew was the only game we wouldn't win. I was trying to be optimistic. We need to win.
Yeah.
But it's one of those games that, because it's so winnable... We might not.
It's just to screw up, isn't it? Yeah.
It would be a very Ipswich thing to do.
It would be peak Ipswich.
Lose that one as well.
Yeah, hopefully not. Well, we'll get a prediction for you when we say goodbye. First things first, you're here to talk to us about Rainbow Tractors. You're here to talk about the Rainbow Laces campaign. Lots of great stuff going on there. Remind us, some revision, who Rainbow, who, what, why, how Rainbow Tractors, what's the mission, what's the purpose?
So Rainbow Tractors is the LGBTQ plus supporters group for Ipswich Town fans and allies. So it's not just if you're in the community. And it's just about helping make football and Portman Road feel safe for all fans, regardless of how they identify. And we've got membership forms around now and things. So we're really pushing on with the group and it's going all really well.
So we spoke in March, didn't we? Which feels like
yes.
an absolute lifetime ago when things had just kicked off again. So how have things been? And I know that you're working really hard to get closer ties with the club. How's that all been in the last few months?
Yeah, it's all gone really, really well. We had our first in-person social before the Oxford game. And I think our big problem is that we've got lots of fans all over the country. So doing anything in person can be quite challenging sometimes. But we've got group chats going and things. So the actual building of the group up's going really well. And I cannot thank the club enough for how supportive they've been. We've got really good links with the club through Dan Palfrey. And hopefully in the coming months that will continue and get even better.
It's great to hear. And Dan's great, isn't he?
Yes.
Can't give enough praise to Dan and all the guys, frankly, behind the scenes at ICFC. But yeah, Dan does a lot of work there. Talk to us about Rainbow Laces. So when this goes out, it will be Friday morning, or whenever folk listen to this, it will be from Friday up to the Crew game. Tell us about the Rainbow Laces campaign, what that's about, and what Rainbow Tractors, what Ipswich Town have got in mind to market.
So Rainbow Laces is about helping bring visibility of the LGBT community in all sports. It's not just a football thing, it's across all sports. Things like about, you know, the whole anti-LGBT language not being banter. You know, it is harmful. And it's, we want all sport to be a welcoming place for the LGBT community. And that the Rainbow Laces, a Stonewall Run campaign to, you know, include that, encourage that, and show that teams are welcoming to, and inclusive to the LGBT community. As for the club, the game is Crew. Our designated game is the Crew game.
Okay.
Some people may have noticed at the Rotherham game that underneath the scoreboard, in between the away fans and the Sir Ralph Ramsey stand, in that bit of terracing that's no longer used, there's a flag.
Oh, I didn't notice that, but I'm not observant. So
the club have got a flag designed and put up as part of the campaign. I am on Friday, so hopefully Friday, meeting Connor Chaplin and having a chat with him about the campaign. Something that I've, you know, me and Dan have both said is a good, I thought it was a good idea to, you know, work with the players as well as him. So then that will, I believe, go out on social medias and things for people to see. I don't know if they'll be wearing laces or armbands and things. I think they have them in the past, so don't see why not.
And you can get Rainbow Laces, because I saw on your Twitter as well, which I will put up the... there we go.
I've got 12 left.
12 left. So by the time this goes out, it could be zero.
Yes, it could be.
But you can get it from the Stonewall website as well.
Yes, yeah, okay. So I got them. I got could get 25 for free. So if you're a team, if anyone watching this is like a coach of a team, then they can go on the Stonewall website and get 25 of them for free, which would cover a team. I've had all sorts of people, not just Town fans. I've had a referee who's obviously seen it being retweeted onto their profile come and ask me for a pair. So it's really got the word out.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and they're one of my trainers. At Rainbow Tractors, yes.
Sorry, go on.
It's all right. I put them on. I was wearing them on Tuesday night. So, yeah. It's all looking good.
So we can blame the laces for the defeat to Rotherham. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Definitely not. And I guess probably the most burning question, and we kind of talked about this last time we spoke as well, is kind of why do the kind of casual Ipswich Town supporter, why does this kind of matter? And I kind of, there's some stats that I dug out on the Rainbow Laces page on Stonewall about 20% of sports fans think anti-LGBTQ+ language is harmless. If it's just meant as banter, that's what you kind of talked about. 43% of LGBTQ+ people think public sporting events aren't welcoming. That was back in 2017, but I can't imagine that has changed massively since then. 33% of LGBTQ+ people who participate or follow sport are not out to anyone in their sporting life. So this kind of really matters, both from a sporting perspective from within games, but also making Portman Road, and I know Rainbow Tractors is a big advocate, obviously, for this as well, is making Portman Road friendly for everyone, a welcoming space where you don't have to worry about the kind of language being used around you. That's kind of the purpose, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, it's not just within, I say, Ipswich Town, it's just about people knowing that, you know, say they can come, but they could come to an Ipswich Town match and feel that part of the community. They could, but that there is a community within Ipswich that is supportive. So they know there may be teams and people they can go to where they, even if it's like speaking to me about Aren't Through Rainbow Tractors, about where there's a team that is friendly and inclusive, because, you know, I've got links at the Suffolk FA who have been very supportive as well. So it's about, it's just like raising awareness and helping people understand that it's like the language has to be thought, you know, have to be careful with your language. But also just like, I think that the people may not be out, but they just want to feel safe and like they can be themselves, which is a big part of what, you know, myself and the club really want to do, is we want people to feel like they don't have to hide who they are when they go into the football.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, it's a really simple phrase to say, but we're all Ipswich, aren't we? And that's, in terms of going to Portman Road, it shouldn't matter at all, should it?
No.
So that's the kind of atmosphere that we want it to be, but change is needed, hence Rainbow Laces, and anything to build the community. As you say, so Rainbow Tractors is the place to go for that. I put you on the spot at the start so you could be frying it in the think wok. Prediction for Sunday, and any other last bits and pieces that, if you want to direct us to any resources or links, I will put your Twitter back up there for the folks watching on YouTube. But yeah, Francine, I'm going to have to get a crew prediction from you, I'm afraid.
Rotherham was the first time I predicted a defeat ever. I'm normally a very positive person. I think it will be not as comprehensive as the Doncaster win, but I think it will be a similar, we're just going to outperform them, outclass them. So I'm going to go 4-0 Ipswich.
4-0.
Yes.
Wow. And that, I mean, we are recording this not on Friday morning. This is quite close to Rotherham. So I'm loving the optimism, the turn of mood there. That's exactly what we need though. So that's great. Yep. Any last bits and pieces to direct folk to where to get stuff, either people looking for support or people looking to be an ally to the group or anything like that?
Yeah, they just, our Rainbow Tractors, got a Facebook, our Instagram and our Twitter handle. And if you message me on there and you want more information, I can send you our membership form, which the club are also going to be putting out this week as well. And I'll also, you know, answer any questions anyone has. Also, when I do a Man of the Match poll after the games, please get involved, everybody. I'm not doing it for Rotherham because I've decided myself who's got it, because only Edmondson, I think, he would have won it anyway if I put him in there. So Edmondson was it for Rotherham, but in future games, you know, as many votes as possible for my man of the match polls.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, we'll retweet that then in future. That's useful to know as well. So yeah, at Rainbow Tractors for all kind of information on the group and what they're doing on Rainbow Laces. Keep a lookout on the club socials, by sounds of it, on Friday. Is it you chatting to Connor?
Yes, me and one other person. Okay. There's two of us chatting
to
Connor.
So keep a lookout for that. Keep a lookout for a flag under the scoreboard in the corner of the Cobbold and the Sir Ralph Ramsey stand. And vote for your man of the match at the end of the game on Sunday, which Ipswich are going to win. You've heard it here first. 4-0. And also, Rainbow Laces, if you are in quick, you've got a chance. Otherwise, Stonewall website if you've got a team or anything like that. Francine, that's great. Thank you so much for spending the time. And good luck for all the events happening over the week. There we go. And so we're recording this before I've edited the video together. And I threatened this last week. If I can make this work, Seb, I will do the kind of Wayne's World wibbly wobbly dream effect to
Please
come back
do.
Into that. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm trying to. I'm thinking the Wayne's World quotes. All I can think is, I'm in Delaware, but that's when they get the blue screen behind them, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe next week we'll get the blue screen behind us and. Oh, I'm in Delaware.
Spend some of the budget. Let's get a gun here to a Broadway show.
We'll get someone to do this voiceover intro, yeah. You can wear Reebok stuff and just put your feet up.
Eat pizza, Pizza Hut.
Exactly right. Oh, I've got a headache. Ah, oh, take one of these. Oh. There we go. We could quite Wayne's World all night. But we won't. We won't. We will talk about ITFC Women, who have second round FA Cup tie this weekend. Annoyingly, have a clash with the men's game on Sunday.
Do I ask which one you're going to? Are you torn at the moment? Well, I mean, I'd go to the women personally.
If I wasn't having to do the flagship show, I would probably do it. I mean, it isn't impossible to do both. You will miss a chunk of the end of the women's game or a chunk of the, you know, first half of the men's game. You might be able to get the second half probably. But after Rotherham, I was tested. But I feel really sorry for the girls because it's going to be a really small crowd. And Crawley Wasps, I assume, are not too upset about that situation. So it'll be an interesting one to see how they get on against that in that
was
one.
It, Crawley was it 1-0 earlier in the season, I think, was it?
Yeah. So they've got league form there. So it's not as daunting a tie as it could be. And we spoke to Kieran about that situation last week. So we wish the women all the best for their game coming up and to get round into the next round of the Cup. Obviously, continue. Recent history in FA Cup has been pretty good. We also need to wish all the best to friend of the pod, Sophie Peskett, the first women's pro back in the summer. Had a knee injury in September and has subsequently had lots of tests, and it's found out that she's got a torn ACL and had surgery on that, I think, yesterday when we're recording, on Wednesday. And then has now a long spell out. So not a long-term injury. Bruce Wilson, the other one. So, yeah, we wish Sophie the best. And, yeah, tough that, isn't it? After being, you know, part of the team and getting promoted and now you're on the sidelines. It must be tough.
It is, yeah. So did you see all the tweets after the Southampton victory? People were, you know, tagging her on Twitter and stuff, and she was replying to a couple of them. So, yeah, thoughts go out to her. It must be heartbreaking to see, you know, the team do so well and not being able to be a part of it. But hopefully, she can be back for hopefully after they're promoted at the end of this season into next year's division.
Yeah, I'm not a surprise. I'm not a medical professional, but I don't know how long ACL. I know.
Do yourself short.
Dr. Woodward is my honorary title in my house. But I suspect the end of the season is going to come too soon, isn't it? Do you know?
Yeah, normally 9 to 12 months, I think, isn't it? So you're looking at start of next season, I would imagine, is the target at this point.
But the miracles of modern science, you know, cheating friends or cheating medical science, Seb, you know. Anyway, we wish Sophie the best. And I'm sure she'll be looked after very well by the club as well. Should we talk about Crewe, Seb? Why not?
Yes.
Yes, as he presses the button for the bumper. Tell us all about Crewe. How's their season gone so far?
Well, if on paper you could choose a game to play, having lost away to Sunderland, albeit with a good performance, and then lost on Tuesday night after being school, I guess you would pick the side that are bottom of the league and haven't won a single game away from home. So, you know, on paper, this should be an absolute gimme. They are sacked rock bottom, 12 points from 19 games, only won 2 games all season, not won a game away from home, and only won one in their last 5. So if ever a team was there for the taking, I think it's fair to say that these guys are. Last time out on Tuesday night, they lost 3-2 to AFC Wimbledon. We have to clip this, aren't we, for when we've lost and we can come back and you can put all these quotes together and say, well, Seb said it was an absolute gimme. Who'd have thought we'd lost 3-0?
No other club. I mean, this is probably nonsense. I'm now more nervous about this game the more we talk about it, because as you say, by whatever measure you can come up with, there is no way that we should be contemplating anything other than an Ipswich victory. Now, it might be a scraped 1-0, knowing
at this point, the form, take it.
But there is literally nothing that there's no kind of the only thing I guess I can find is they scored twice away from home on Tuesday night, and they still lost.
Yeah, one was a last minute like consolation as well, wasn't it? So, you know, they're not prolific scorers, Bunny. I mean, like I say, they lost 3-2 away to AFC Wimbledon on Tuesday night, went 1-0 up, but then lost it 3-1 down and scored a consolation, and AFC Wimbledon had a man sent off. So I don't know if it was a nervy ending, but, you know, like I say, they've not won on the road at all this season. Last season, they finished really comfortably. They finished 12th on 66 points, and I was astounded. They were only 3 points behind us, which kind of, you know, shows how awful we trailed away last year. We had the 1-1 draw at what's now the Mornflake Stadium. I know it is Gresty Road. I didn't know it was the Mornflake. There's some sort of porridge or oats type thing. It's like a Cheshire staple, apparently. They're the sponsors.
You should know that's not too far away from you, isn't it?
It's about 45 minutes away, yeah, but I can honestly say I've never had Mornflake.
You don't tuck into some Mornflake cold morning.
No. Yeah, on the cold winter nights. It was the Aaron Drinan worldie goal, where I think he tried to tackle the guy and ended up bouncing into the net. Yeah, and we won 1-0 at Portman Road. Ollie Hawkins scored from an Alan Judge corner. So unbeaten in them last season. And of course, we all remember Crew, I guess, for that horrible late game in the 90s, don't we?
Yes. I mean, that's why I've got the shirt.
I'd forgotten about it until I saw your note.
Yeah, 98-99, Crew beat us at Portman Road in kind of the third game from the end of the season. I think we lost to Birmingham after that. Mark Rivers, I can remember. It was a really miserable, wet day, I think. Mark Venus scored a penalty. But Jermaine Wright was sent off for Crew.
He was,
I couldn't remember that. David Wright played for Crew as well. Danny Murphy had just signed for Liverpool, came back on loan. He was playing for them as well. And they were down to 10 men and it was 1-1, which I think might have been enough in the end. I need to check the goal difference. We missed out by 2 points, I think. 1 point off second.
Yeah.
Paul Jules Bradford. Bloody hell, Paul Jules. So that cost us, I mean, it admittedly, a year.
The next season we actually lost them in the two-legged cup Carabao. Worthington Cups were two-legged, weren't they? The next season we lost them over two legs as well, and they became a bit of a bogey side. I remember we played them probably about November-ish time at Portman Road in the promotion season. Well known for Sean Fry's debut, if I remember correctly, and big game players step up, don't they? And David Johnson scored twice to seal the win. So yeah, for a while they were definitely the bogey side, and God, that game in the late 90s was horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah. If we hadn't gone up that season, we wouldn't have signed Marcus Stewart. And, imagine what might have happened then, hey, Seb. So overall record, actually, we kind of talk about that kind of moment in time, that kind of 6 months period where Crew screwed us over. But in our history, I mean, it's not a frequent flyer of fixture. 11 town wins, 4 draws, only 3 defeats, including the one we've just talked about, the one in the League Cup you mentioned, and we lost them when the season started to crumble in 2002-03.
I remember
in August
2003-04. I remember that. Yeah, it was we had like Marcus Bent, Pablo, and Darren Bent up front in a 4-3-3, and we had that awful start. Do you remember? And it was about early September. We were bottom of the league, and then we started to get our groove on. We brought in Coochie and Bart Williams and Alan Mann and stuff, and we started to shoot up the table. But it was, I think, it was like third or fourth that season.
Right. Talk to us about David Artell, who I'm going to put his picture up, because I don't know whether I'm giving myself disservice or too much credit. There's a likeness, isn't there? I mean, if you remove his hair, add a bit more of a beard.
Yeah.
There's a likeness. Am I not? a bit of a spit for. I've even put the right glasses on as well. There we go. David Artell and me.
I can slightly see it. Can you do his voice like you do Paul Cook's voice?
No, I'd listened to it and I can't remember. It's a Northwest accent, your kind of neck of the woods accent, but no, I can't do it. But he's been there for a while.
I can see a resemblance. Yeah, he's been there in various roles. You know, he played for them. He was captain. He took over an academy role in 2014 and then became the permanent manager in January 2017. His record is reasonable. You know, played 248 games, 198. Drew 45, lost 105, 1.37 points per game. Obviously, that's heavily weighted with what's going on so far this season. It was strange. They were sort of lower to mid-table in League Two under his first few years. They were 17th and then 15th and then 12th. And then suddenly in the COVID curtailed season, they absolutely stormed the league and they were second and obviously finished up there on points per game and then had that really comfortable spell last year where they finished, you know, mid-table in League One. So he's done really, really well there. I've noticed he's brought in Alex Neil, hasn't he, as an advisor. So I guess he's maybe looking like Paul Cook's done with Peter Reid and just getting that slightly, I guess, more experienced body in to offer different views and different advice. And although it's not Seb's fact of the week yet, did you know he's actually got a degree in forensic biology from the University of Chester?
I did not know that.
No, surprising, isn't it? I mean, the University of Chester, I think if you collect various coupons on the back of Shreddy's package, you get a degree from the University of Chester. It's not
this
amazing.
This is your neck of the woods.
It's a rubbish university. I think it's bottom of most lists week in, week out. If any of the University of Chester alumni are watching, feel free to get me on Twitter. He's got that as well. So yeah, he's been there for an awful long time. And I guess this season, I guess it's hard to tell what Crewe expect, you know, to go from being comfortably mid-table last season to struggling this season. You know, are they considering a change? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And I shudder to mention this. We know the kind of style of play that Crewe have had over the last 2 or 3 decades under Dario Gradi, but lots of off-field issues in more recent times that are kind of a bit of a dark cloud hanging over the club. But Artell's team last season, I remember that 1-0 win at Portman Road, which was a very flattering scoreline for us, wasn't it?
I think
they were the much better team.
They were,
and
yeah.
They tried to play the right way. Alex Neil is not too dissimilar in that style of play, but it does kind of feel like a bit like picking your own successor, doesn't it? And I wonder what the situation is there and whether Artell might just, you know, because he's ultimately quite loyal, I think, whether he might wish the club well and want Alex Neil to try and, you know, do some kind of escape job.
Perhaps, maybe, I guess Alex Neil is that experienced hand, isn't he? You know, a lot of experience with Norwich and then
is it below
with Preston
him,
more recently. Sorry?
Is it below him, that job?
I don't know. I mean, if you're out of work for a while, I think you get to the point where you have to take something, otherwise you start to get forgotten about quite quickly, don't you? Well, I can't remember when he left Preston. Was it was it this season or in the close season? I can't remember.
Last season, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay, so that's when he's
maybe
left.
Maybe started the year.
Been out of work for so he's been out of work for a decent while. So I think when you get to that position, you don't want to become like an Alan Kerbishley, you know, where you're sort of linked with everything, but you never get anything. I think it gets to a point where you just want to take something to get your face back into the game.
Buying houses in Woodbridge, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Let's talk about transfer business. In terms of assessment of Crewe, my assessment here is that the recruitment has been a massive failure, and that might be a factor here. You're going to tell us about a couple of players who've left quite significantly.
Yeah.
One who we saw quite a lot of last season, but the players coming in don't really fill me with a huge amount of confidence.
So. No, they've lost quality, haven't they, and not really replaced it very well. They've brought in Chris Long from Motherwell up front to score the goals. He's got 3 so far. Jay Neil Bennett and Ben Knight are the sort of, I guess, the headline loans on loan from the Premier League. You've got Bennett on loan from Spurs, and of course we know Ben Knight, who's on loan from Man City when they snatched him. Was that 2016-ish, 2017, was it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's still quite young, isn't he? But yeah.
Yeah, this is his first sort of venture out, isn't it, into the Football League. He's not really done much there so far, but they're sort of the headline loans, I guess. Madgar Gomez has come in from Doncaster to sort of stiffen up central midfield. Played 45-odd games for them across the last 2 seasons, so fairly well experienced at this level, but none of them have really been amazing. And Callum McFadden's come in from Sunderland. He's a left-back, but none of them have really set the world on fire.
So I wasn't going to say anything, but you got to strike 3 for me.
With what?
There are 3 different pronunciations. So I'm going to go for, here's an alternative translation from the Wrexham language that Seb's using. I'm going to go for Janiel Bennett.
What did I say?
you said Janeel, as in like J-Lloyd, like J-Lloyd Samuel. Janeel, Maja Gomez, and Callum McFadzean.
What did I say for Gomez then?
Madga.
Oh, what are you saying?
Madja.
Oh, right, okay.
Like Badger.
Okay, right. Thanks for explaining.
Maybe should next have time, with this before
put it up. Put it up in crayons for me next week, so I can.
I'll spell it phonetically for you.
Thanks.
Two things that I'd clocked in checking through the signings, and this again to me, kind of has reeks of kind of iceberg, but probably isn't. They signed two players in the summer, Tommy Hoban, Sean McDonald, both on a free transfer, both of whom retired after being with Crewe for a few months. Now, admittedly, injury is probably a factor there, but that's always a little bit ominous for me, particularly Tommy Hoban, who's 27. We don't know the situation there. There might be something else at play, but clearly there was an expectation. 27 and 33, the ages, respectively, those two players. Those are experienced players, signed from Aberdeen and Rotherham, who Arteta would have been hoping to make a contribution, and that's experience that's gone, and they're retired, I think, in September time.
I mean, I guess we're kind of one of the poster boys for poor recruitment, aren't we? You know, if you sell quality and don't buy properly, and I guess don't do your research. Like you said, we don't know the situations behind it, but if you don't do your research and you do diligence on bringing people in, then I guess these are the kind of things you can open yourself up for. And when you do lose quality and not replace it properly, then you're gonna suffer the consequences.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Aren't you?
And talk to us about the quality that was...
The two that stand out. I mean, Charlie Kirk, we saw him play against us. Lovely player, I thought. Last year, he's got 6 goals, 8 assists in 42 games. He's gone to Charlton in the summer. He'd have been one I'd been quite happy with when the takeover went through. Obviously, at that stage, I guess we didn't know we were targeting the likes of Selena and Chaplin and stuff, you know. And I did think to myself, he'd be a reasonable buy. He only cost Charlton 500 grand. So that could be a real, real bargain. Owen Dale, I think we were linked with him as well at some point during the window. 11 goals, 2 assists in 43 games last year. So you've lost, you know, two players that have pretty much played every single game last season, have contributed 18-odd goals between them and 10 assists. And you know, they've both moved higher up the tree. Owen Dale's gone on loan to Blackpool at the start of this season, but there's an agreed fee to make it permanent in January. So, you know, then he's not coming back. And Ryan Wintle as well, joined Mick McCarthy's Cardiff. He only made one appearance for them, then got loaned to Blackpool, where he's made 12 appearances. So they've lost some real, real quality based on last year, which I guess explains the huge drop-off in performance.
I think you mean Ryan Wintel, actually.
What did I say?
I'm joking. That one was fine. That was fine. Those three were on point. I was just taking a piss. Let's talk about what to kind of expect.
Room 101, pronunciation.
Yeah, Sam's pronunciation.
Pedanticness.
It's the Welsh accent. Don't worry. You've been up there for too long. Need to get you back. In terms of what to expect, the stats are pretty lousy in respect of goals, shots per game, are as bad as we'd expect them to be defensively, though. It's just a nightmare. Talk to us through some of the stats.
So. It is, isn't it? I mean, they've only scored 16 goals so far this season, which is 0.8 per game. They average just under 10 shots per game, which is the second worst in the division. 3.5 on target, which is the fourth worst. So, you know, this is not a good sign. I'm very conscious that, you know, we're going from sort of, you know, on paper, poor recruitment. They don't score any goals. We're really, really starting to build this up, aren't we?
No.
51.6% possession, 47.8% away. So away from home, they're happy to, you know, sit back and let their team have the ball. 73.4% passing accuracy, which again isn't amazing. Defending, they've conceded 34 goals, which is 1.8 per game.
That's as many as we've scored, isn't it?
Obviously, the three on Tuesday night against AFC Wimbledon. Only two clean sheets so far this season. No clean sheets away from home. I reiterate that. They haven't won away from home, and they've not kept a clean sheet away from home. So, yeah, make sure you clip that part of it up. Shots conceded is 16.4 per game, which is the worst in the league by a mile. And away from home, it's 18.7. So, you know, we are. Let's hope Macaulay Bonn and the likes bring their shooting boots on Sunday, because we're going to be presented with an awful lot of opportunities.
Expected goals against 1.94.
Gillingham.
Gillingham stats are pretty bad as well, by the way. When I was doing the kind of shots and these kind of stats, Gillingham were up there as well. You'd expect Doncaster to be, but Gillingham actually pretty poor on that. But yeah, expected goals expected goals against 1.94.
As good as almost two. Right. Yeah, you know, this.
And we saw that against AFC Wimbledon, three conceded, you know what I mean? So, yeah, in terms of the way that they'll go about things, there is pace in this team. They do attempt to attack down the wings. If you said they're happy to have the ball. But the weakness is just whatever good there is in this team, the weakness is just undermine it. And to me, I watched the highlights against Wimbledon. Awful defending at set pieces. Awful defending at set pieces. Mistakes around the 18-yard box. Defending counterattacks, not great around that. Avoiding offsides. Actually, we're both pretty poor at that. And I've for some reason managed to magic up from somewhere the half-time and full-time league tables with a home and away split. And actually, if games ended at 45 minutes, here's a pointless hypothetical, but let's go down this avenue anyway, because I've done the research now and it's in the script. If games ended at halftime, they'd be 19th in the league table, which isn't particularly bad in respect of how they start games. Ironically, Wigan would be 18th on the halftime league table. We'd be fifth, and we'd top.
If it
was just away games only, we'd be top in the halftime league. So if we were having a miserable live show, which is still available if you want some light relief, there's a positive that we didn't talk about. We're top of the halftime league in away matches only. So there you go. Brilliant. If it was only home matches, Crewe would be 12th in the halftime league. So clearly a team that start okay,
yeah,
but just tail off in epic fashion second half. So something to be bearing in mind there. If the game is tight at halftime, then there's a good chance that Crewe might spontaneously combust second half.
Hopefully, yeah, keep the faith. If it's not going our way around about sort of 50-60 minutes, let's all keep patient, because yeah, they are a side that like to tail away, aren't they?
Let's have a bit of speculation on the team, Seb, and the shape, which is kind of the way we think.
Yeah, the formation they've played most of the season is 4-3-3, but away from home, it'll be a 3-5-2 or more likely a 5-3-2, with the fullbacks not being very adventurous. I looked at the heat maps for the two fullbacks, and they very rarely get inside the opposition's half. I think their job is very much, you know, defend first and don't really look to get forward. Assuming it will be a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2, whatever you want to call it, it's likely to be Dave Richards in goal as the number one.
I'm going to dispute this.
Okay.
I think Dave Richards might get dropped.
Okay, because he made a mistake on Tuesday night.
Two of the goals, I think, were pretty calamitous for the keeper. But tell us about both of them anyway. Sorry for interrupting.
Well, Will Jaskalainen, obviously, is the son of former Bolton nemesis UC Jaskalainen. He's made 12 appearances so far this season, with one of the clean sheets being whilst he's been in the sticks. He lost out the jersey, and Dave Richards came in. He's much more experienced. He's 28, 29, I think. He's played the other seven games, also only with one clean sheet. And he has started the last four games, so that's why I kind of assumed he would continue to keep the shirt. But like you say, if he dropped a couple of howlers, I've not seen the highlights, I'll be honest, of the Tuesday night game. If he's dropped a couple of howlers, then it maybe Yaskalan will come back in. In defence, they had Luke Offord, who sat out on Tuesday night with a one-match suspension for five yellow cards. He'll come back in on the right-hand side. He's played 17 games so far this season. Likely to be a chap called Terrell Thomas in the middle of the park. 13 starts, 6 foot, so a bit of a not so much a giant, but he has the sort of the physicality in the back line. And the left centre back will be a Wales under 21 international called Billy Sice Davis. He's played the last two in the league, so that's likely to be the back three. And what's noticeable is the age of these defenders. They're a very, very young side at the back. They've got a guy on the right back, Scott Cashcart, who's playing out of position. He's almost like a right winger. Imagine like Guion Edwards tucking in at right back that we had a couple of seasons. It's very much that scenario because Kane Ramsey on loan for Southampton is out. And the left back is an academy guy called Rio Adibazi. I'm sure you'll butcher me on the pronunciation there. He started 18 games. So when I said they were a young back line, Adibazi and Sice Davis are both 21. Offord's only 22. And Terrell Thomas, the guy who's likely to be in the middle, is the oldest one at 24. So they are relatively inexperienced at the back, shall we say.
Yep, Adibazi. Cashcart, I think, certainly this was the key against Wimbledon. Cashcart pushed right up. I mean, as you said, his position is right midfield, right wing. And at times he was joining the strikers and making it a front three against AFC Wimbledon. So don't be surprised if he pushes up and that will put Luke Offord under a little bit of pressure there. But as you say, the other guy who might come back, and we're recording this obviously a few days out from the actual game, but Donovan Daniels, right back / right centre back, has been out for quite a while and started the season quite well and brings some experience as well, has been in missing to injury but might be reaching fitness there, so he might return in some capacity on Sunday. Tell us about the midfield, Seb.
So the midfield will be a three. Yeah, it'll be a three, most likely. So you've got Tom Lowry, who'll play to the right of the three. 6 appearances, 2 goals so far this season. Centre midfield is Luke Murphy, who I seem to remember from Bolton days, if I remember correctly. 17 appearances, no goals. He likes to sit, and he's their captain, so he's not very adventurous. He's very much the shield for the defence. I'm thinking Bolton. I can't think why. Was it the year when they came down to the Championship and they suddenly signed 15 players, including Daryl Murphy and Josh Emmanuel, on transfer deadline day? For some reason, I think he was there, but that could be completely wrong. I'm sure you'll check.
No, you're right. So I Leeds was ringing out for me. And
okay.
Yeah, so he was came through at Crewe, went to Leeds for 5 seasons, had a loan at Burton, then had 2 years at Bolton, 2018, 2020. He was there and joined Crewe 2020. Yeah. So, and he's only 32, but as you say, he's going to sit, isn't he? Yeah.
I would have thought so, yeah. And then the Maja, I'll say that again, Maja Gomez, to agree with your pronunciation, is likely to start on the left-hand side of the three. He started the last 5 in the league, no goals, no assists. He's kind of a box-to-box kind of player, but again, he doesn't like to get too advanced. He's very much sort of, you know, gets to halfway in the opposition half and looks to lay it off for somebody else.
Yeah, they got some other options there, sorry. Oliver Finney's made a few sub-appearances for them and scored a goal. He can play on that left-hand side. Callum Ainley, but I think he's injured. Josh Lundstrom, I was looking to see if he's a brother of the Lundstrom who's now at Rangers, formerly Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, who I really liked. I'm not sure. I think it's kind of a Daniel Batty situation, as in it's just the name. Scott Robinson has also played left mid. And he, interestingly, he's quite young. He's on loan from Celtic, has been suspended retrospectively for an off-the-ball incident against Elias Kachunga of Bolton. There's a 3-match ban, which ends after Sunday's match. So there's some injury situations with Crewe. There is a couple of suspension issues as well. So this is not helping them, Seb, is it?
No, not at all. You know, they've got issues. They've not got the biggest squad in the world. And I guess, you know, once you lose a couple of your decent options, then you start to really feel it when you've got a similar size squad to what they've got. An attack, I guess, is that, it'll be the two up front. So Chris Long's the guy they bought in the summer from Motherwell. He's got 9 starts and 3 goals. He's pretty much guaranteed to be one of the starting two. Then they've got Chris Porter. So Chris Porter's made 18 starts this season, 3 goals, 3 assists, but he's 37. So I'm wondering, is he going to be able to play 2 games? I know it's the extra day that we're playing on the Sunday, but is he going to be able to play 2 games in a relatively quick succession. If he doesn't, it will be Michael Mandron, ex-Colu. He'll come in. He's got 3 goals in 17 appearances, but he was last season's joint top scorer with Owen Dale with 11. So they've got a decent option there to come in, but I'm not sure Porter will be able to do 3 games in quick succession. He's decent in the air, Porter, but he's very, very slow. So he's very much the focal point, you know, bring the ball down and look to bring others into play.
I like Chris Long. I'm not in a pick of man to watch this week, but I do like Long. Really excellent goal and a really excellent assist. Actually, Long and Porter both assisted each other for a goal against AFC Wimbledon. Really excellent assist from Long. Quite pacey and attacking, quite skillful. So he's one to look out for, as you say. And Mandron has never really... He's going to be in a bit of a journeyman lower league striker. Never really had too prolific a campaign until last season for Crewe, and clearly he's reverted to the norm this season with just the 3 goals so far. The other options, as we said, Janiel Bennett has been out injured, might be fit, probably might not, and Bed Knight, who'd been out for a couple of months, has recently returned to the bench.
He'll be a bench
since the start of October, and has been in the cups, but is unlikely to start against his former club. So there you go. Dare we talk about Ipswich and some predictions, Seb? I guess the question really is, who's that attacking midfield three going to be behind the striker?
And the left back, striker potentially.
And who's the left back going to be? You know, it's just...
I mean, I'd be looking at this point to bring in Vincent Young to play on the left. So Danasin on the right, Vincent Young on the left. He'll keep Edmondson and Toto, I assume, in the middle. Walton will stay in goal. But, you know, Bailey Clements is done really well against Oxford. Did okay in the cup against Oldham. And then to ask a relatively inexperienced 20-year-old to play against the likes of Sunderland, and then, you know, a well-polished, purring machine like Rotherham was a bit harsh, I thought. So I think I'd be bringing in Vincent Young. So you've got at least one proper attacking fullback on the pitch. The midfield two, we know it will be Evans and Morsey. That's not going to change. The three behind, if we assume Burns is still going to be out, we don't know. He hasn't tweaked his... Is he just tweaked his hamstring? Is he? He's not pulled it, is he?
It was very vague, wasn't it?
Yeah. If we assume he's still going to be out, then I guess we'll see Chaplin probably out wide again, Selina in the 10, and then I would bring back in Edwards. I just think with Burns, when you've got one of Burns Roberts in the team, you've got a player that can naturally carry the ball up the pitch quickly for you. So I think if you're missing one, then you pretty much have to play the other. I'd personally put Fraser into midfield alongside Morsey as well, personally, just that extra bit of quality and guile, because Evans has looked really off it the last 2 games. I don't think he will, but that's what I would do. And then I guess you have to stick with Bond, don't you? You wouldn't be looking to make a change. I think it's harsh on Piggott. I think he deserves a run, but it's a big call to leave out your 11 goal top scoring player, even though if he has scored, is it 1 in 6 now, and he's looked a bit off it the last 2 games, albeit with absolutely no service.
And Piggott's going to get the cup games probably the next
week. He'll play Arsenal and Barrow, won't he? So he'll get 180 minutes presumably across those two, possibly more if the Papa John's goes to extra time. So I guess it'll be something like that. Again, I'm not overly thrilled with the three number 10s like we had on Tuesday night playing behind the striker. They seemed to get each other's way and got a bit cluttered, but I think at least two of them will have to start given Burns' injury.
I'm hoping that Aluko might be back. Obviously, had a difficult week for him and it might be too soon. Yeah. But I think it'd be good to have an orthodox wide man there rather than a number 10 playing out of position there. I think Edwards will come back in on the left hand side because I think he, as you said, he can take the ball up the pitch and has a bit more threat about him and more positional discipline. I would quite like to see Chaplin as the 10. And if Luko's around, I'd quite like a Luko at right wing. And I agree with you. I drop Fraser in alongside Morsey. But we'll see what will happen.
I don't expect much of that to come to fruition, unfortunately.
No, well, we'll see. Guinevere might come out, won't she? Prediction, score prediction?
We'll win. We've built it up so much up to this point in all the analysis. I think we'll win. I'm going to go 2-0. I don't think it'll be overly convincing, but a 2-0 win.
I think it will be... Yeah, I was going to say 2-1 or 3-2 maybe, but I think we'll do just about enough, but I still apprehensive about our defensive capabilities.
And then we've got the real tests against the likes of Charlton coming up, the following week and stuff. Exactly. You get this weird week these days, don't you, where you seem to have 2 cup games in a week with Peter John and FA Cup, so you get a complete break from the league like we had a couple of weeks ago, and then we've got some big games coming up with the likes of Charlton followed by Wigan.
Do you want me to play the music for your mini facts of the week, or are you moderately embarrassed by it?
No, play it. Absolutely not. It's what people tune in for.
Yep.
So my fact of the week is based around the Alexandra part of Crewe's name. So the official line is the club states it is named after Princess Alexandra of Denmark, who married the Prince of Wales. However, there is also a theory that they took it from when they moved to the Alexandra Recreation Stadium in 1877. So official line is it's named after the Princess of Denmark. I've got no idea why. And the non-official theory is they nicked it when they moved grounds once.
There you go. Fact of
the week. It was really hard to find a fact this week. I texted you, didn't I? Was it yesterday or Tuesday? And I said, bin off that feature this week. There is nothing remotely interesting about Crewe Alexandra.
Quick as a flash, I said, don't be blue, Peter. Tell us why they're called Alexandra. Otherwise, it was going to be about trains, wasn't it? So I think you've chosen wisely. Fact of the week. Excellent work, Sam. Let's do a few plugs before we go to the main event. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk is where you need to go for all of our information. All of the shows that we've got are listed. The audio feed, the video feeds, our social medias, all of the Instagram stuff. I took some very arty-farty photos around Portman Road.
I noticed
On Tuesday night after
the signing. You were down there early for the book signing, weren't you?
I was. I need to get that on the shelf at some point, which was excellent. And the book is available in Planet Blue as well, 30% donation to the Brain Cancer Charity. We are back on Sunday for the flagship show after Crewe. We had a bit of a debate on the live show, which is also available still, with Joe, Dave and I after Rotherham, about whether we go live or not. So we'll make a decision possibly Saturday, maybe Sunday evening,
depending on how the game goes.
So that will be available Monday morning at the very latest. It might be that it's out live on Sunday night as well. And then usual shows next week. Wednesday, we'll do a reaction to the Pizza Cup. No, it's not even that. It's the EFL Trophy, isn't it? Wednesday against Arsenal and then flagship. Are we going to do a pre-match about Barrow, Seb?
We can do. Yeah, maybe a watered-down version.
5 minutes.
Yeah, slightly less detail than normal, because finding detail on the lower league sides can be a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, we'll do our best on Barrow next week. We'll let you know if Seb and I have a week off. So there you go. Let's get on to the main event. And a return to form is what I would call it. Convincing is what I would call it.
Is it though?
What do you mean?
A return to form. I mean, you've won one. It was pretty much a given.
Oh, well, you can only beat what's put in front of you and back to the top of the league.
We're both on 0.5 points per game, so why are you top?
Because I'm top, because on points, I've rounded my points per game down. I'm actually on 0.54, whereas you're on 0.5 outright. So whatever metric you want to throw at me, apart from played, I'm legitimately top. So... And Craig will be in the comments, no doubt, about his cheating. It's 2-for-1. I saw that, Craig. I'm maintaining it's cheating. Seb, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first this week. Mine is very short and very sweet. Are we allowed to swear at this stage? We're not allowed to swear yet, are we?
Yeah, go what you want.
I fucking hate short corners. And that's my room 101 this week. I absolutely hate them. I can't stand them. I didn't watch the game on... I was doing a work thing, so I couldn't watch the game on against Rotherham. But... I think at one point was it the 78th minute or 79th minute or something? We had a corner and I was thinking, right, if you could make it a good delivery, you've got the big men in the box, you know, Piggott's on the pitch at this state. You've got Piggott in there, NCR's big guy, Edmondson, you know, great in the air. Get a good delivery on it. If we get lucky and score, it could make it an interesting last few minutes. And what did we do? We took it short. And I have never, ever seen a short corner work in the 31 years or so I've been going to football. I can't remember it ever working. I've done no research, so I don't know what the likelihood percentage chance of scoring A from a corner is or B from a short corner is, but I absolutely hate them. They wind me up, they never work, and they are rubbish. Get rid of them.
So complaints to Brown S08 for the F-bomb there. I checked first.
I did check.
I don't know what word you were going to say. You could have dropped the C-bomb. It would have been even worse.
I'm not that bad, no. Just filth. Put a bleep over it in the edit. Go on.
No, I will keep it in and we'll put an explicit parental advisory note. Two things. If you'd said free kicks, I would have probably fallen on my sword and not even put anything forward, because short free kicks were ridiculous on Tuesday night.
We did them on Stupid. Tuesday night, didn't we? Yeah, I saw that in the chat.
We even paused and tried to set up a play and then still took free kicks short. So if you'd said short set pieces in general, and I can still allow you to change it if you want, but I think probably you need to go with your first answer.
No, I'll stick with corners.
The point on short corners is statistically...
Presumably you make the angle better, do you, for the delivery or something?
That, and statistically you're more likely to retain possession.
Brilliant.
That's a fact, though, isn't it?
As opposed to whipping it in and getting a good connection on it and maybe scoring a goal, you're more likely to retain possession.
So your odds of the next touch after the corner of being a goal are higher, but the probability of it hitting an opposition player is obviously much higher as well.
So swing it in swinging corners, swing them in, get your big guys out from the back and get on it. Outswinging corners are rubbish and short corners are even more rubbish. Okay, I won't hear otherwise.
I'm playing devil's advocate. So yeah, okay, there you go. Of a similar theme to Rotherham and Tuesday night, I'm going to put into room 101 referees who outwardly appear to be enforcing time-wasting rules and then don't bother doing anything about it. They don't book anyone, nor do they add any time on. So referees going through the motions, say, oh yeah, here we are, I'm tapping on my invisible watch, and hurry up, and then don't actually do anything about it. Rotherham were I'm gonna have a swear as well. Rotherham were absolute shithouses on Tuesday. They did it really well. They went for a drinks break straight after they scored the first goal in the first half. It took about
a minute.
Did they?
I didn't know that. Okay.
Ridiculous situation. They were doing the cramp thing. The keeper was going down. The keeper, you know, wasting time. Referee was kind of doing all the chivying along stuff. And we had a goal. I think we had possibly three or two subs each. Which about 30 seconds. I don't know what the official law is on that.
Meant to be 30 seconds per man, yeah.
We still got 4 minutes. We didn't get 6 minutes or 7 minutes, which is what we should have got. Not that it would have made any difference to the outcome, because we still wouldn't have scored. But I just hate it, particularly at this level, referees who are pretending like they care.
Going through the motion so the assessor in the stand doesn't you know shout at them on after their reviews. Yeah, I know what you mean. I always find that frustrating. You know, when a keeper is obviously wasting time and the ref keeps telling him and keeps telling him, and then maybe in the 89th minute he might finally book him, so he ticks the box and his assessment, that kind of stuff is really annoying, isn't it?
And if you wanted to send a message to the keeper about time wasting, you don't book him in the 89th minute, you book him in the 70th minute.
You book him and the second time he does it. The first time he does it, he gets a warning. And the second time he does it, you book him.
Yeah. So the referee on Tuesday just fell for it. He was doing his weird little gestures, little muggy little... I nearly said something about
it. Do the stuff with the hand.
Yeah, special claw. No. So I'm offering up referees who don't enforce time wasting. Don't penalise time wasting. They pretend to. And actually, when it comes down to it, they bottle it. So there you go. And we've got short corners. We've got crap refs on time wasting. Vote for whichever you agree with and want to consign to our footballing dustbin on the Twitter poll that will accompany the tweet with all the links for the show. And we will come back next week and we'll see. Well, maybe we won't come back next week after Barrow, but we'll see. We'll report back one way or the other. So there you go. And let's move it on. So that is your lot. Seb, thank you very much for all of your research and your excellent pronunciation, and good luck.
Don't forget, folks, this is a home banker.
And football, we'll end. You can have the last word. Football Room 101, get your votes in on that. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk, as we said, for all the details about whatever's going on, feeds, instas, socials, donations. We had some really very generous donations during the live show and also subsequently via the PayPal link as well. So thank you everyone who's done that. We really appreciate it. We've got some really excellent stuff coming up. We do have there's at least two things that I know about that are very cool. And Mark Donaldson has committed to come back verbal contract to do our first book club podcast. So we will definitely do that. We may even have a copy of the book to give away as well. So the donations just help us do more interesting stuff And we will let you know how the format is going to work for that. So keep a lookout on our Twitter for that. And if you want to contact either of Seb or I to give us your feedback or suggestions on how we can make that feature work, at Ipswich, at Brown S08. And obviously this show is brought to you by our good friends at the Greyhound Ipswich. Premier venue, home matches, even away matches. Go to there as a pre-match venue, even if you're not going to the game. Pre-match, post-match, and they are open as normal on Sunday. Slightly revised situation with menu, I think. Maybe a little special there, but if you're expecting a full-blown roasty, I think maybe expect more the match day fare, which Seb is still excellent value and excellent quality, isn't it, anyway? So
superb, yes, yeah. And we love the amazing choice of beers. Get yourself down there. It's much more fun than going to Portman Road.
And you may or may not see members of the Blue Monday team. That is your lot. Thank you for getting this far and watching. And Seb, I'll let you have the last word.
Crew haven't won a game away from home and haven't kept a clean sheet away from home. And then along came Ipswich.
Do you really want to end on that?
Why?
Do you really want to end on that?
Why? Well, I get accused of being negative.
Are you sure?
Why? It's. Would you be that surprised if it was a 0-0 draw?
I don't know.
Well, we can redo it and I'll do Come On You Blues or something token.
I'm still recording because I'm going to give you a second chance. You can stick with it and I will make a decision whether I keep this extra, this bonus bit. I just can't believe that you said it.
Why?
You going with it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go with it. I'll do the outro once more. Thanks for watching, everyone.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.